Here ends the reading. Grace and peace be with you from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I can't say it's my favorite memory to look back on and to ponder. I was a sophomore in high school, and my English teacher assigned a 5-page paper. Doesn't seem like much, but at the time it felt like it was huge. 5 whole pages. And then the worst part, it had to be typed. Now brace yourself if you're young. I'm about to say something that's going to date me. I didn't have a way to type my paper. We didn't have a computer in my home. This is long before those days, at least in my house. We had a typewriter. Now kids, typewriters had these things, they were called ribbons, that you had to insert in order to get them to work. And our ribbon had run out of ink, and we couldn't find a new one. And this is, the internet was 2 years old at this point. So just to give you a time frame here, Amazon didn't exist. None of it really was out there. We didn't have a way of getting a new ribbon. And so I tried to type it, hoping for the best, and it slowly faded away. You know, when your ink is starting to dry, it was bad. I had no options. So I went to school and I had a classmate, and I haven't even told my parents about this. I paid $5 for a fellow student to type my paper for me because I couldn't type it myself at home and I didn't have a method. So I paid the $5 and I brought in my handwritten sheets for him to type. And then the next day, he brought the typed paper, and I thought all was good. It was all going to be great. Worked out. And then the next day, the teacher called me and this other student into her office. Apparently, our papers were amazingly similar. Like, verbatim, word for word, line for line, similar on certain areas. Now, I need to add a caveat here. You got to understand, I'm an okay writer now. I'm not a great writer. I don't even know if I'd qualify as good, but I'm an okay writer. Back then, I was terrible. I feel bad for the student because they must have been so desperate to try to copy off of my paper at that time in my life. But I have to be honest, guys, I've never felt that betrayed in my life. This fellow student was a friend of mine. They had taken my money, they had plagiarized part of my paper, and they almost got me into big trouble. At least for me, that was big trouble. And I was angry, I was sad, but I was betrayed. And that's the way I really felt. I really felt betrayed. And you know, when we say that word, betrayed and betrayal, it's kind of a bad word, isn't it? It just brings up some memories that maybe we wish we wouldn't even have, or maybe some memories that we wish were long since gone that we couldn't even remember anymore. Times where our trust was broken, where people acted, spoke, or thought against us. Or maybe as we dig deeper, as we really think and ponder on that word, maybe there's some things in there that we did. Times when we spoke against somebody and we really shouldn't have. Or whenever we accidentally breached somebody's trust. Or maybe it wasn't accidental. Or maybe you thought it was justified. Maybe it felt like it was the right thing to do at the time. Only later you realized what really happened. That word can have some deep emotional impact on us. Just hearing it. Just thinking about it. Just dwelling on it. On that word, to betray, betrayal, that hurting of one's trust. And we certainly don't like to think about it in terms of God. To betray God, to betray our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, how do you deal with something like that? To betray or to have a betrayal of God. You know, as we think about that, and as we come to our text for tonight in the Gospel of John 18, notice Judas. He almost has it like a badge, doesn't he? Judas, the one who betrayed Jesus. Judas, the one who betrayed him. Judas, the betrayer. It almost follows Judas, like it's a part of his name. How do you come back from that? How do you return from that? How do you return from such a betrayal? And what does Jesus do? What does Jesus do? He has Peter sheathe his sword. He is to take the cup that his Father gives him. See, Jesus is looking ahead. He sees all that has been done in the past, and he looks ahead. He looks, dare I say, to the future in a sense, to where we are. And he takes the cup that his Father gives him. As he heads to the cross, ultimately to pay the cost of betrayal. For that's what sin is. Sin is a betrayal. Think about it. How often have we woken up in the morning and said, today we're going to do it. Today we're going to have a great day. We're going to have a perfect day. Today we're not going to sin. And then, right, we put our shoes on and we find out that we've sinned like 10 times. Or maybe we say, today, you know, I have this sin I've been struggling with. Today I'm going to put it behind me. And then today is when you fall again and again and again. You kind of make a promise to yourself, you make a promise to God, and then you betray that promise. It is a betrayal. And how can you really come back from that? You know, whenever Judas has that title, right? Judas the betrayer, we always make it sound like there's no way he could have ever came back. But the reality is you heard it in the passion readings for tonight, the problem wasn't that God couldn't forgive Judas, but Judas went to the wrong place. Notice where Judas goes to seek forgiveness. He goes to the temple. He gives them their money back. And they tell him that there's nothing that they can do for him. Actually, when we get to Peter, and we're not going to get to Peter's story tonight, but Peter also betrays Jesus in a sense. But Peter goes back to Jesus. And there in Jesus, he finds forgiveness. There, in Jesus, he finds forgiveness of his sins. You know, we've been kind of talking about a lot of things during Lent, and I think tonight we're talking about betrayal, but really what we're talking about is repentance. To turn. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, we are brought to turn from our sin to God. And in that repentance, we find ourselves forgiven of our sins through Christ Jesus our Lord. Through our repentance, we find that we have already been forgiven, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, for you and for me. But you know, as we have been called by the Holy Spirit to a life of repentance, where we reflect upon ourselves, where we reflect upon our sin and we repent of our sin, we've also been called to a life of forgiveness, which sometimes is just as hard. We've been called to a life where we don't just turn and repent of our own sin, but we look at others that have sinned against us and we forgive them. Not because we are so powerful or strong, but because we know that we have sinned against God, our Heavenly Father, and He has given us so much, and He has forgiven us so much that we can also forgive others. It's a challenging thing. When I think back to this whole plagiarizing story that happened to me in sophomore in high school, I think about how hard that was. It didn't happen instantly. I wish I could tell you I could just snap my fingers and it was like that. But it took months. It took months. But in those months, I was able to forgive him. And in some respects, I call him my friend. I say that because I'm Facebook friends with him, right? I don't live in Missouri anymore, and I don't get to see him much anymore, but I see him and his wife and his children, and I try to stay up to date. But that took a long road of repentance and forgiveness and realizing how much God had forgiven me, that I also could forgive him for the sin that he committed against me. It's a hard road, but it is a road that we have been called to through the power of the Holy Spirit, that yes, we repent, And yes, we find forgiveness in the arms of Jesus. In his name, amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us now